Now it is time for the Friday Newscap and some voices from the news this week.
To me, this is a time of crisis when we should be leaning on our public health experts and research and science. And it's been made everything more difficult that we couldn't rely on the CDC and at the national level, that there wasn't clear guidance on when is it safe for schools to provide in-person learning. The divisiveness and the politics getting in the way of this work has absolutely been one of my biggest frustrations.
Arizona has a great school choice system in place, but it's only a choice if it's funded. It's only a choice if the student has access to the school. It's only a choice if they're not stuck on a wait list for years and years and told year after year after year, just wait. When we're fully funded, then it will get better.
The irony is that if we were funding our schools appropriately, we wouldn't have kids who felt, or families who felt the need to leave, or certainly not as many, and them leaving funds our schools even worse. So it's like this catch-22.
You know, I would hope that there would be, you know, more rational minds that prevail on Monday and really look at this at face value. But at the end of the day, I don't see President taking something like this to the floor if there aren't enough votes to pass.
And with us to talk about Superintendent Hoffman's State of Education address and the state Senate possibly having members of the Maricopa County Board of Supervisors arrested. Yes, possibly arrested. Are Julie Earthly of Earthly Uncuffed. Julie, good morning.
Good morning.
And Barrett Marson of Marson Media. Barrett, welcome back.
Oh, thank you for having us.
And Julie, let's start off with this possibility of what's going on with the state Senate and the Maricopa County Board of Supervisors. Bob Robb in his column today, and Bob is no shrinking violet liberal, assessed the state Senate as acting with wild powers, that this just sort of seems like something crazy. Before we get into some specifics, when you think about what's going on now, what do you think of?
Oh, my goodness. I think that what was once the fringe part of the Republican Party is now mainstream. And it every day I think, man, things can't get crazier. And then they just get crazier. And so, you know, I guess I hand it to Republicans for outdoing themselves on a regular basis. But at what point do those who, you know, used to call themselves principled conservatives and believe in democracy, at what point do they say, wait, enough is enough, right? Like, we need to come in, we need to revamp this party, we need to, you know, it's gone so far off the rails, or just start another party? I don't know. I mean, arresting Republican senators, arresting Republican supervisors, it's maybe this blows up the party. I don't know what goes from here, how things play out. It's loony. There's really no other way to describe it.
Hey, Barrett, in a former life, you used to work for the Department of Corrections. What would that look like, the state Senate Sergeant-at-Arms arresting the supervisors?
Well, you know, the Department of Corrections does have some very fine facilities. It is gorgeous out now, so they don't have to worry about the lack of air conditioning. So you'd hope that you get out by May, because when it gets hot in a prison, it gets hot. And the food is not. It is no Durant's, I'll tell you that much. So, and look, this is wrong on all sorts of levels, that I absolutely agree with. For some of these senators I know I've talked to, this is about sort of more about process and preserving the integrity of the Senate subpoena power. I know that doesn't mean a lot to sort of people out in the real world, but they want to preserve that authority that they believe that they have. And also talking to a couple of them, they don't think the courts will ever go for putting a supervisor in jail. So I think Bill Gates and Jack Sellers can rest a little easier that they will not be going into prison. That Clint Hickman, though, you know, you never know about him.
Well, so Barrett, what's the end game then here? Because there was sort of a school of thought that by the Senate issuing this subpoena and issuing the contempt resolution maybe would force the supervisors to give the Senate what they wanted, or at least force negotiations. But if you, at least the public statements made by the supervisors, it just seems like they're digging their heels in even more. So, like, what's the end game here?
Yeah, I really think the end game is the PR aspect of it. We fought. The supervisor said no, and a court agreed with them, or maybe they won't. But I think it's the PR aspect of things that they get to go back and tell their voters, we tried to get accountability in our elections, and we were blocked by the deep state and whoever else. Look, I in no way believe the idea, the concept, the crazy concept that the Arizona elections were somehow fraudulent, or at least on a widespread. Obviously, one dead person probably voted, but not 5,000. So I don't believe that. But there are people, particularly Republicans, who do truly believe that. And the Maricopa County board is doing an audit of the machines. That audit will come back by two different companies, and it'll show everything went perfectly fine. And some of those crazy Republicans will not believe it, or will turn their attention to other concepts that have no basis in reality.
Well, Julie, that's been sort of the big question, right? When, you know, even after Maricopa County said that it would do these audits, and as Barrett suggested, there's a pretty high likelihood that it's those audits are going to come back and show that there was not widespread fraud or mismanagement or anything was rigged or anything like that. Does that actually change anything, or does that actually change anybody's mind here?
Right. So there wasn't widespread fraud, and that is exactly what those audits are going to show. It's not going to change people's minds. I mean, Barrett is right. This isn't about getting to truth. This is about some kind of PR, really kind of sick PR game that legislative Republicans are holding right now. And I think the end result is that they continue to convince Arizonans that somehow this was not on the up and up. And then that allows them to push through legislation that in another time, nobody would have ever considered or thought that it was a good idea. For instance, you know, Representative Bullock's legislation that she wants to push through that would literally allow Arizona legislators to override Arizona voters and choose the president. Those are the kinds of things that I think Republicans are gaming for right now, is how do we take even more control away from the voters? How do we undermine democracy? How do we become these little emperors in chief, which it seems like that's what their goal is right now.
Well look, I think it's a bit of theater, if you will. I prefer my theater at the Herberger or even Harkins, but it is definitely theater that we are seeing here. And that doesn't get at any problems. I mean, look, we can always improve on our elections. I don't think eliminating the permanent early voting list, or there's one bill I think that would mandate that you take your mail-in vote and you must actually hand deliver it, mm-hmm. which is makes it a hand-delivered vote instead of a mail-in vote, I guess. Some of those reforms are absolutely idiocy. So I would like to see more attention on maybe some possibly real reforms, making it easier to vote or to vote by mail. I mean, I do think we do have an issue of like how long it takes to count the ballots after election day. And I think we could improve upon that, but none of these bills really focus on that while still making it easy to vote.
Barrett, I want to start with you, and then Julie, please follow up right away after this. Barrett, you mentioned the word theater, and you know, people like you and Julie, me and Mark, and a lot of people listening, you know, and elected officials, yeah, when they hear theater, I mean, I've talked to members of Congress who talk about theater, and yeah, it's all well and good until you have something like an attack on the U.S. Capitol. And it's, so as a point of people who are involved in the game of politics, maybe understand that some of this is done to raise money, even if it makes some people sick to their stomach. But when you start having people act in a way, then the theater is no longer, it's almost like, you know, in some sick way, Lincoln and John Wilkes Booth at the theater, too. That didn't work out so well.
Well, I wasn't really thinking about that theater. Sometimes, you know, actions do have consequences, but, you know, there is also personal responsibility. I would love to see, and it's probably not going to happen anytime soon, but I would love to see a ratcheting down of some of these tensions, and certainly a refocus of the fact that Trump lost the election because he was a bad candidate. He had some good policies that I think a lot of people liked, you know, tax cuts and reduced regulations, very Republican things. But however, they couldn't stand him as a candidate. And I think the less people focus on that as the reason why he lost and instead on conspiracy theories, then the less you can move forward. And it is time that we move forward from Donald Trump. He lost. He lost fair and square, at least in Arizona. I can't vouch for Pennsylvania, but in Arizona, he lost fair and square. And it is time to move on from him and his legacy.
Julie, let me ask you about that theater question, though. At some point, does theater just become, you know, dangerous and frankly too convincing to some minds?
Yes, and we've seen that. I mean, this isn't really theater anymore. This is a case now where we have a whole swath of Americans, a very large portion of Americans, who believe these, like I said, what were once fringe conspiracy theories are now mainstream conspiracy theories within the Republican Party. And that is very dangerous. It does lead to what we saw happen on January 6th. But even more than that, it leads to people like Marjorie Taylor Greene in the Congress, somebody who, I mean, did anybody think that a couple of years ago we would have a congresswoman who is being held up as you know, sort of like this model for a whole bunch of people in the Republican Party who believes in Jewish space lasers starting the fires in California and thinks 9/11 is a hoax? And I mean, this is mainstream, and that is incredibly dangerous. How do we get back to facts and verifiable facts and understanding that some people are spreading these conspiracy theories because it just helps them gain power? And that is incredibly dangerous.
Barrett, let me ask you about something you said.
Julie, Steve and I were at a meeting a couple of weeks ago where we discussed this Jewish space laser. We're not happy that got out.
Hey, don't leave Mr. Brody out of that one, Barrett.
Yeah. Oh, Barrett, I want to ask you about something you said just a minute ago about the process and how, you know, some members of the state Senate are maybe not so into what the subpoena is, but they do believe that the legislature does have subpoena power and they want to uphold that. Is there a way for Republicans to separate that out and to say, yes, I do believe that, you know, these subpoenas have to have meaning, we have to be able to back them up, while also maybe not threatening to arrest fellow elected legislators, or, as looks like the case, even if it's not in reality, making it appear as though they believe that the election was stolen somehow?
Someone like T.J. Shope, senator from Pinal County, you know, he has had, as the ethics chairman a couple of years ago, during an investigation, he had to threaten the subpoena and use the subpoena to get some records. I think he wants to show that the subpoena is a very useful and powerful tool in the right circumstances, and it needs to be preserved. I know that he has specifically said he does not want to see any supervisor go to jail. And I think he called that a bridge too far for him. Or something to that effect. So, I mean, there are some of these people who, you know, will stand firm that there should be no arrests. How we'll see that move forward and play out is, you know, we'll just have to wait and see. But I know that someone like him won't specifically vote for anybody to be held, you know, up for arrest and thrown in the Senate basement or jail, wherever.
Senate basement might actually be worse in some cases.
Right. But I've been in the Senate basement. It's not that great.
No, it's not. It's not great. But Julie, I mean, is that like, is it possible? Barrett referenced Senator Shope, and yes, he has said that he is not a stop the steal guy. But at the same time, he is one of, as all Senate Republicans are, one of the sponsors of this contempt resolution. So, like, in voters' minds, and maybe even in some of the legislators' minds, like, is there a difference here between the belief in legislative subpoena power and the belief in what they are trying to subpoena in this case?
No, I don't think that is a nuance that voters really are seeing right now. I think what the average voter is seeing right now is that the Senate Republicans believe still in this fraud allegation, and they're challenging basically the Republican and Democratic supervisors. And they're saying, look, you guys are trying to withhold some kind of you know, important information that's going to show some fraud that doesn't exist. And, you know, on the other side is saying, no, 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 we're not. It, you know, let's get over this. The reality is that, you know, Maricopa County, the supervisors are saying that what you are requesting from us, Senate Republicans, is not even legal. We don't even think that we can hand over some of the things that you want. And so why not let that part at least play out in court? Like, why go immediately to this contempt? That's the part that I think Senate Republicans and people like TJ Shope need to answer, is why not just let that part play out first?
That is Julie Earfley of Earfley Uncuffed. Also with us is Barrett Marson of Marson Media. With Mark Brody in Phoenix, I'm Steve Goldstein. In the midst of the Friday newscap, which continues after this. It's the Friday newscap on KJZZ with Mark Brody in Phoenix. I'm Steve Goldstein. We're joined today by Barrett Marson of Marson Media and Julie Earfley of Earfley Uncuffed. And Julie, I have to apologize because we're going to another GOP kind of story, and this has to do with another voting recount that a number of state lawmakers are calling on GOP Chair Kelly Ward to have votes recounted there to make sure she, in fact, did win fair and square. What do you make of that? And would it actually be better for Democrats if Kelly Ward were to win a recount or lose a recount?
You know, it's hard for me to know what to say to this, but Barrett would probably be better on this one. I guess Kelly Ward has never heard that saying, you know, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. I think it would be fabulous to have a recount and to see that Kelly Ward lost, because as entertaining as Kelly Ward can sometimes be, I do also believe that she can be very dangerous because she is so quick to spread these conspiracy theories. And so my hope is that if you get somebody else leading that party, that they may be able to steer the party away from conspiracy theories and into the land of truth. That can only be good for everybody. So I would give up the entertainment value of Kelly Ward for truth.
Hey, Barrett, I want to use one of my friend Mr. Brody's favorite words right now, irony. Is there irony that Kelly Ward thinks there should be one recount and not another?
I mean, look, it's beyond irony doesn't even begin. And really, it's hypocritical of Kelly Ward to say that we need all kinds of transparency and election integrity and everybody else's elections, but not in mine. And so I'm just, you know, maybe she won, maybe she didn't. Maybe it was a fair election, maybe it wasn't. Who knows? Kelly Ward certainly does not want to take a look underneath the hood to expose any potential problems that we know. You know, I wonder why. I don't know why. Thankfully, I did not attend the super spreader event where she was reelected or allegedly reelected. So I think that at some point, I mean, look, this controversy for her is not going away. Even those, you know what, 18 lawmakers, about 40% of the entire GOP legislature, asked her to do something and asked her to do something real quick. So, you know, a lot of people are putting pressure on her. And these are some of these people who signed that letter are Kelly Ward supporters. Are, you know, from the far right of the party. So, you know, these aren't just the mods and the rhinos, if you will. These are some of the farthest right members of the legislature, and they want some election accountability because they understand the hypocrisy.
Also, Barrett, is Kelly Ward's stance on this sustainable? I mean, can she continue to say that there needs to be an audit of the presidential election while saying that, you know, there shouldn't be one for her election, and that, you know, we are not in the business of giving people things that they're not entitled to? Like, can she continue to make that argument?
You know, it's sustainable. It's just not believable. I mean, every time that she comes out with some sort of statement or a video or whatever, everyone in the back of their mind is going to have, yeah, what about you? So it's, she can do it for a long time because it's, you know, she does control the party, and it's up to her to do some of this stuff. But, you know, it's hard to do a revolt within a party. You know, there's not, you know, you can't just start a recall like you can say for a legislator. So it's much, much harder to get rid of the party chair if you've, you know, for cause or for, you know, a lack of election integrity. So it's sustainable for a while, but, you know, pretty soon resources will dry up. People won't be donating, and that's a problem. And, you know, then you're letting staff go and you're not, you know, Republicans have lost about 10,000 members just in the month of January. So, you know, she has to reverse that. And if you don't have money and you don't have the trust of people, it's going to be hard to reverse that. And then that creates the real problem.
Right. And Julie, again, we apologize for asking you to opine and wade into internal GOP politics here. But is this in some ways maybe a missed opportunity for Kelly Ward to actually do an audit and basically show, look, this is how you do it. It's easy. Doesn't take a lot of time. And, you know, this is what we can show. You know, so what is, you know, what are the Board of Supervisors so afraid of? What is the Senate so afraid of? You know, we can do it here and show how it can be done.
I think that if Kelly Ward was operating with any sense of sanity, that would be a missed opportunity. But I don't think she operates from that standpoint. I mean, she lives in the world of conspiracy theories and QAnon. So to be frank, I don't think she even sees the hypocrisy in what she's doing. I really don't. I think this is just how she operates. So, yeah, it you know, it could have been a missed opportunity for her, but I don't think she even sees that.
Julie and I agree.
Well, one more quick one on GOP internal politics. We'll leave enough time to discuss something else, we promise. But Barrett, let's go to State Senator Wendy Rogers. There were a lot of people concerned about her candidacy to begin with. She's run for a lot of things and not won. There was actually, in the long discussion we had leading up to November, that was one of the seats the Democrats thought they could win to at least make the Senate a 15-15 tie. And now a Senate ethics investigation is moving forward on Wendy Rogers. What do you make of that?
Well, look, I don't know if those allegations are true or not. Obviously, they are just allegations from a staffer who said she mistreated him. But if they are true, you cannot treat staff like that. You cannot yell at staff. You cannot threaten them. It just isn't right whatsoever. What the punishment should be, you know, that's going to be up to other people. I don't know what it should be. And again, I don't know if the allegations are true, but you cannot mistreat staff the way she is alleged to have done. And that is absolutely wrong. And if it's there will be an investigation by the Senate Ethics Committee. If those allegations are proven true, she should face some punishment. I saw someone recommend that she no longer have a staff, a secretary or an assistant. You know, let her answer her own emails and things like that. You know, that's that may be something worthy to look at.
And Julie, we of course, as Barrett said, we don't know if the allegations are true. I think it's safe to say you shouldn't treat anybody, not just staff, you shouldn't treat anybody the way that she is alleged to have treated her staff member. Right. Do you have a sense of, like, in your perfect world, how would this proceed? We saw yesterday the Ethics Committee decide and vote to investigate. Is this the kind of thing that, you know, in the past we've seen outside investigators hired? Is something that, do you think that should happen? Do you think the Senate should be investigating something like this?
They probably should have an outside investigator just to make sure that it's, you know, it's fair and there's no conflict of interest whatsoever. It is a serious allegation because, you know, like Barrett said, nobody should be treated that way. I do think that it's not unbelievable either, just if you've watched how Wendy Rogers reacts to people on social media. You know, even within her Twitter bio, she talks about how she's proud to be a charter member of the far-right militia group, the Oath Keepers, of course, which we know a bunch of Oath Keepers were, you know, have been indicted in the January 6th insurrection. She has talked about the insurrection. She has said, you know, she said really awful things. I mean, this is not difficult for me to believe just based upon what I've seen from Wendy Rogers and certainly her tone in social media and in interviews and so forth. So I do think it needs to be investigated. there does need to be some accountability, because that's really, I think that's the biggest issue right now, is we have folks who are saying really awful things, who are spreading conspiracies, who are treating staff poorly, and there doesn't seem to be accountability. We're not going to change that culture until there's accountability.
Julie, our last few minutes, let's move to State Superintendent Kathy Hoffman giving her State of Education address this week. At the same time, we're seeing a renewed push to expand ESAs, expand vouchers at the state legislature, and this is after Arizona voters pushed down an effort to expand. What do you make of what's going on as far as ESAs and voucher expansion?
Boy, again, this is another issue of, oh, well, the voters may not want it, but we don't really care. We want to be our little mini emperors, and we're just going to, you know, deny the voters what they want and just go forward. I think that speech that Kathy Hoffman gave was really her State of Education speech. I hope people listen to it if they haven't already. She had a line in there that I thought was so important. She said, anyone who thinks it's not raining in Arizona right now needs to check their privilege. And that was really an important line, because the legislature seems very tone deaf on what's actually happening right now in our state. We are still in the middle of a pandemic. We have some of the country's worst unemployment benefits. We have a housing affordability crisis. We have a teacher shortage crisis. We have some big issues facing our state. And what are they talking about? They're talking about, how do we expand vouchers? How do we take away powers of the vote from people? How do we become our own presidential electors? They're not addressing the crises that are happening right now in our state. They want to implement $600 million in tax cuts. I mean, it's pretty crazy stuff. People need to listen to what's going on and pay attention, because things are not going to improve until we have legislators who are actually trying to solve problems, not create new ones.
Well, Steve, you know, let me say, you know, yes, I know voters did reject that Prop 305 from a couple of years ago, but there is no doubt that the legislators that they have sent, the Republican legislators that voters have sent to the legislature, are pro school choice. I don't think there can be any doubt about that. So we have seen this year, in the last year, obviously, a lot of issues with public schools and COVID, and parents are looking for outlets to get their children back into schools. You know, distance learning has not been great on families, obviously. And I think this is a way, you know, they are looking at this as a way to help those families maybe move into schools that won't, that will have in-person learning, and you know, will cater to the families. And I think this is a reaction to that.
Bert Marson of Marson Media, Julie Earfley of Earfley Uncuffed. Guys, thanks as always. Take care and enjoy the Super Bowl.
Thank you.
Thank you.